It's October 30th, 2017, and Dueling Fates is finally upon us. I'm Colin Detmar.
And I'm Nick Cease, and this is Bottle Crow. And today, for once, we're going to talk about Dota. And for once, this is not the first time because our host history is long and John Guild. But we have special guest Mr. Blue, who is making his triumvirate because he's, you know, he started out .p. Now he's going to We Like Dota. And now, finally, we've captured him for our own episode.
This is in fact a blood contract, and he can never escape. He does not know what he is.
Unless you got something else going on with Colin. That's why I'm still here. I don't know.
I sound like a Pokemon, I'll be honest. You sound like you're just like training me like a Pokemon. I've gone from one trainer to the next, and yeah, I you know, it was a short stint with We Like Dota, but thanks for having me aboard.
Listen, we wouldn't have chosen you. It was a wonder trade. You just sort of randomly got it.
I mean, I've technically been on the We Like Dota feed, so.
Yeah, I mean, you mean you fed them?
Yeah, that's what I normally do.
Oh,
feed.
Hey.
Hey, let's talk about Dota 2.
Oh, so it's going to be one of these kind of podcasts. Okay.
The garbage.
Have you never listened before?
I'm learning.
Yeah, so I should probably not stall because we have so much fucking shit to talk about. So, the patch notes for Dueling Fates is here. It does have a... Okay, for some reason I wrote down that there is no version number. There totally is. I'm full of shit. It's 7.07.
Duh.
And, I guess first off, the most obvious thing is we have two new heroes. Blue, you played a bunch of Pangolier, considering... It's only been out for a couple of hours.
Yeah, fair.
Why don't you handle describing Pangolier to us?
Okay, so Pangolier, he's like a kind of armadillo man. Listen, I know he's a pangolin,
but no one really knows
what that is. Okay, get over it. No one really knows what that is, all right? But he's basically your discount armadillo man, and he's... obviously, like, a take on D'Artagnan and the Three Musketeers. He's got this outrageous, like, ridiculous French accent. I'm, like, 98% certain that Phil LaMarr, who's famous for, like, voice acting every single thing ever, is doing the voice acting for him. But it's outrageous and silly and ridiculous, and I love it. Like, as far
it's
as
like
the
even
flavor,
a step above the spirits in terms of the... the whatever adjective you'd use.
Yeah, just kind of comical or like a sort of like almost League of Legends-y.
Yeah.
Just kind of silly, you know, not like one of these like I am Doom or I am Terrorblade.
I'm literally
Satan. Yeah, it's like that's he's not like that at all. He's fun and he kind of just has panache. I don't know, but like flavor aside, he's really fun as a hero to me at least because he's got. He's introduced a new mechanic for Dota, and that's vector targeting. I don't even know how we could explain that one, but basically you click to a point, and then after that you choose the direction you want the ability to like aim, like right after that. It's kind of difficult to explain. You just have to play it in a demo mode, but that's his first skill, which is the swashbuckle, and it's pretty fun. It's like far and away his most like fun to use ability.
Oh yes,
but it's good. The second skill he has, it's like a ground
shield
pound kind of
bash?
Thing. It's really yeah,
weird.
It's shield bash is the name of it.
He's, even though he doesn't have a shield.
Yeah.
All right. Well. Like we'll get to the details later. Okay. Like this is not a guy you want
sure,
to
sure,
dissecting.
Colin. Amateur.
Yeah, amateur out here. So shield crash is the name of the skill, and basically you just bobs up and down in the air and just lands, and you'd think that would do some kind of slow or something, but it like increases his damage reduction for the number of heroes he hits in like an AoE around him. And it's like, it's okay. It's a good nuke. It's good like wave clear. And then he's got this third skill, which is kind of a weird one.
See how this feels.
Yeah, can you explain this one? Because this is still one I'm trying to get used to.
So, it's a passive that occasionally occurs when he does an auto-attack. His Q can
That's
also
on every
it.
Auto-attack, right?
No, it's a chance. It's a proc.
Oh, okay. I played 10 minutes
and,
to the test.
And when it procs, The enemy gets a debuff that after 2 seconds, it takes 2 seconds to, like, take effect. And after that, the enemy, is slowed from 35 to 50%, and all their armor is negated. It is as though they have zero armor.
Oh, isn't that,
for a couple of seconds.
Isn't that just from Pangolin's attacks?
No.
No?
No.
No.
What?
That's for everyone. It is temporarily as though they have no armor.
It's not a buff on him. It's a debuff on the hero.
The way it was worded, I figured, oh, it's like, you know, just Pangolin. What? Yeah. All their armor
is long, but yeah. But
no, it lasts from 2 to 5 seconds.
Long it's enough. Not. Mm-hmm. All your armor is just trash. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So it's pretty cool. It's a 15% chance though, right? Across all levels, I want to say.
Yeah.
So,
but that does also mean that because it can proc on your swashbuckle, which hits 4 times, you have much higher odds.
Yes. My favorite thing about swashbuckle is that like any on hit proc, so think of like Maelstrom or Orb of Venom or I don't think Cleave works on it, but like
I just tested it. Skills, yeah. It does. Just like the Monkey King Q, I don't think it works.
That's okay. But like Scotty, anything like that, it procs those things on Swashbuckle. But like you said, along with it, it also can proc Heart Piercer. So like the combination is pretty ridiculous. And then his ultimate, which is to me like a complete afterthought in terms of like his just skill set in general. Like the hero's already ridiculous. Even if he didn't have an ultimate, it'd be like, okay, this dude's legit. So it's Rolling Thunder. He kind of like makes into a ball and just rolls around, and it's really hard to control. He just is kind of like this just bouncing ball that just keeps running into things, and if he runs into like a tower or some kind of like terrain, impassable terrain, he'll like bounce off of it. You can use Shield Crash during it to like hop over terrain if you want to, but for me, I don't know, I think my favorite part about this is you could technically start your Rolling Thunder and then blink while you're in your ball right on top of enemies. So there's a lot of initiation he can do. He's pretty tanky, but he's an agi hero. So it's like, there's a lot going on with him.
Yeah. It feels like you have to use it. Oh, well, you can cancel it at any time. I think that's the big thing. Cause it lasts.
Yeah. You get magic immunity too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess you could use it as an escape cause the channel was only,
it does like make you spell immune too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got plenty
of
utility.
Some of the things you can also cancel out of it by using his Q.
Yep.
All right.
And also here are a few interactions that I've discovered. One, as mentioned, you can use a blink dagger, which means you can, because it handles weirdly, you can roll through people, and if you don't take damage from them doing so, you can blink and roll through them again immediately. You can start a roll, and it lasts for 8 seconds to rank 3, so you can start a roll and then TP and come out the other side still rolling for quite a while. You can force staff, you can yules, you can do some fucking stupid shit.
It's pretty great.
It's pretty funny.
He's pretty great. I don't know. Yeah. He's my guy. Like, I was just
Feels fun.
In a little bot match. He just, yeah, exactly. He just feels fun. He's got this super, like, really responsive dash. I don't know, he reminds me of the Spirit Heroes. I think it's the most apt comparison, I think, is because he's very mobile, he's got escapes, he's got low cooldown abilities. That's another big thing about this ultimate. It's like, yeah, it kind of sounds a little underwhelming at first, and the damage it does isn't too great. It's almost like a glorified Spirit Breaker charge, with which you can't really control as well, right? It's not single target, but it's a low cooldown spell. It's at 60 seconds at level 1, down to 40 at level 3. So, like, you could just use it to get out of a jam if you wanted to do it that way, you know? There's a lot of options for this guy. You can build him to do a lot of damage. You can build him as an initiator. He could do a lot, so he's my guy.
Yeah. He feels like, well, I'm sure we'll keep repeating this over and over until everyone's tired. He's a little bit League of Legends-ish. I think it's fine. Like, I think there's very few negative League of Legends changes in this patch, but he definitely feels kind of more like a champion from there.
Who's the guy in League that's like basically was like he looked like a morphling but green. Zach was his name?
Yes.
Kind of reminds me of this guy, like in terms of his ultimate. Just kind of a bounce around.
He basically has Rammus's ultimate, but it feels a lot more like Zach's, yeah. Rammus is like the...
Rammus curls into a ball and rolls at you. Oh, I mean, like it's really,
okay,
really literal.
I just remember seeing Zach in pro play, and I'm like, oh, that looks kind of cool.
It's almost the same. Yeah, like bounces around.
Yeah, I think a lot of the it feels like League of Legends stuff is just like kind of a natural result to an extent of just doing more modern MOBA design. Like a lot of the stuff that we think of as distinctly Dota is stuff that was born out of older design, and a lot of more modern stuff is we're going to naturally equate with other MOBAs.
That's true.
So if you guys are really, really digging Pangolier, and he's, you know, he's not bad. I am extremely into Dark Willow.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be so weird because I've played 10 minutes of each, and they both feel fun, but Dark Willow especially I'm confused about, and I want to fight Colin because
we're gonna have our first proper argument of the show.
Well, we'll give it the description first. She has we're gonna go ahead.
You can if you like.
Go for it. I'll save up.
Good,
for
good,
my fight.
Good. Politer than thou. This is great. Good content. So this is a sort of like a evil, like malevolent fairy.
It's evil
with like. fairy dragon is Puck. I mean, this is more humanoid, has angry wisp and a lantern, and a really good Scott. I really like the Scottish accent. That's
amazing.
A great touch.
it's great.
I mean, it is what it is. I don't know.
No accounting for taste.
Not a, yeah.
Have you seen, there's this show, Supernatural, and like one of the evil characters sounds literally exactly like this character, like down to a T. I'll link it for you guys later, but
might be the same actress.
I don't know.
It's quite possible.
And she's good in it. It's just, it's like I can't escape this kind of character. You know, it's just like they're ever present. They're omnipresent in my life now. So,
I mean, that's all Dota deals in is tropes, and this is just a new one. You know.
Obviously,
it's fine. I like it.
The dark Scottish fairy trope, you know?
Yeah,
it's a
classic.
Given.
The classic. Classic.
Tired, worn out stereotype.
So the Q is a weird one. I guess I'm going to say that for every single ability, huh? So the Q is this big AoE that does damage and roots, but only at like specific, clearly marked points within the AoE that you can kind of dodge and weave around.
Bushes.
Yeah,
it creates
a big X mark of five bushes, like the 4 points and then one in the middle. To me, okay, well, you know what? I'll wait on the analysis. The W is a Shadow Realm, which makes you become untargetable for 5 seconds. It ends at your first auto attack. And during that time, you build up to a big... Like, your next auto attack has increased range and hits harder, and it sort of builds up to within 3 seconds in.
Damage.
Yes. Yes. And, like, at max rank, that's a bonus 360 damage after a 3 second charge. So that's a pretty good hit.
Yeah, plus she has a talent that buffs it by, like, 300 max.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes insane.
Cursed Crown is her E. And you cast it on an enemy, and after 4 seconds, it does a pretty big AoE stun. The D is this, like, it's like Io's fucking spirits almost. Like, this, like, her little wisp spins around her and just sort of machine guns anybody nearby with magic damage. It does pretty good damage.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. That's the one spell you could give or take.
I agree. It's a weird fit in her toolkit, generally. And then her ult, by the way, the way the interaction is, both the D and the ult use her little wisp, so you can't do them at the same time. But her D is like a fairly long range, huge AoE, fear. And it seems really fucking good. Cast animation is long-ish, but it's not as long as I felt like from the preview videos. It's pretty manageable.
It looks cool.
It does. It has this weird, like, green-black effect.
Yeah. It looks cool, but
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I've heard of other skills that do literally the exact same thing, but aren't ultimates. Like, you know, Roar or whatever.
I mean, yeah, but there's only one other
fear. You have to be in there. Yeah, there's one other fear, and you have to be at point blank. And the AoE is pretty small.
Yeah, Terez has a long cast.
Right, but that's not an ultimate.
I don't know how to process it, considering like only Lone Druid has a fear in the game. It's weird to think about.
It also doesn't do any damage. So like you could accidentally terrorize someone, and you're basically giving them an escape.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's blink cooldowns right there.
Yeah, that's true. You have to use it well.
Yeah.
So I think she is a counter-initiating support. I think that she is a new type of defensive support where the plan is not like she seems to have kind of the toolkit of an initiator, but you look at it closer and you're like, none of them are really good for initiation. They're good for countering initiation and dissuading people from going in.
Yes. Makes my life miserable. Makes my life miserable as like an Earthshaker or a clockwork or someone. Like, she's like, oh, you join the fight? No, get out of here. Like, what? Sit in my bushes. Or, you know, like, what are you going to do now? You're stuck in here. Or, because the roots are pretty crazy. If you hit the bushes, the damage over time is pretty good. The root can last multiple times. Like, it's less reliable as a root than Underlords, but it's the same concept of like, okay, you're stuck in here now. You're not getting.
And it's a bit bigger.
Yeah, and the E to me, her little stun, but like it's not really a little stun. Her cursed crown, that's what it's called. It's basically like a homing missile on steroids, because you know it's coming. There's a little marker above you, but it forces me as like an initiator to know. Or to communicate with my team or my team to know that if I blink in and Echo Slam, please, God, don't also blink in because you just now RP'd yourself, you know, into oblivion. Mm-hmm, and there goes
our
initiation.
It's a really big AoE.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah. And like 3.5 seconds at max. Mm-hmm. Like that's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Nick, you disagreed with me. Let's hear it.
I agree that she's good at those things. But I'm pretty sure she's going to be... It might depend on stats and stuff. It's going to depend on stats. I think she's a core. I think she's going to be played better as a core. Probably. First off, she has an awesome base attack time. It's like as good as Oracle's, really good. At least. And it even feels good. It has a great animation.
Oracle noted core.
And a better projectile.
On me. Yep, that's true. However, her W... It makes you untargetable. Mm-hmm. Like, you can dive with it. It gives you, like, when you get that talent, you have, like, 600 damage on your next auto attack. I feel like she can at least be played in, like, an offlane position with all this CC she has. But she also has her D, which is literally just really weird that she has this random kind of wave clearish ability. I mean, it does 225 mm-hmm. on each pass.
The so, wave clear is like, really weak. I've tested it. It
really?
Does not hit, like, it... Hmm. Taps creeps on the shoulder, like it just does not do that much damage.
Yeah, I mean 225, it feels like it's a weird thing for. I don't think it precludes her being played as a support, and I think it'll be good. I just feel like she's gonna be so good if you give her a little bit more. Like once she gets in there and she's able to like do the kind of right clicking a Puck would do, but she has a better base attack time and she's got all this CC that's like a little bit more reliable and lower cooldown. I don't know. She has too much
kind of
to be
it.
Played as like a five to me at the very least.
I can kind of see where you're coming from, but I think like the Bedlam is a weird one. That like circling damage. That's a weird spell. As we say, it's a weird spell, and I don't really see how it fits into her toolkit. But like the W, the Shadow Realm, I don't think it's as good for what you think it like.
Yeah,
the max damage is nice.
Imagine you're a Puck. You blink in, except now you're Dark Willow. You blink in and you start like right clicking somebody, You like put a Q around them as they try to escape. You put an E on them as they try to reinitiate. They do initiate on you. You just press W and you're untargetable for 5 seconds. You retreat back. You go back in. You're like right clicking. You just did 600 magic damage on a person. If they try to go on you again, you have your R. You got your D up.
But there's
there's
a pretty healthy cooldown on that thing, and also you have to not do anything for the like. You can cast spells.
It is not a healthy cooldown,
but
it is 12 seconds.
30 seconds is healthy. 12 at max range, but max but level. You're not going to max that first.
Why not?
Because her other stuff is better. Cursed Crown is really good.
Cursed Crown's real good.
It's also
I think she's
really
just a better lane support than a lot of other heroes. I just think she's a really good lane support.
I think she's probably viable offlane, but I think she's more likely to be a lane support.
All of her stuff costs, like, so one, I'm going to just go down mana cost. 140, 70, 100, 100, 150 are the mana costs on her spells. Like, they're good, but I think she's...
Sounds like someone who would build Arcanes and an Aetherlands to me.
And it sounds like that's needed. It sounds like that's needed. Like, you don't play a position 5 who needs those, I feel like. I feel like if you can only cast it a few times, I don't. We'll have to see. I think it totally depends. I think she's going to be good as a support, but as like a 5 or like a non-greedy 4, I have reservations. But we'll have to see.
Fair enough.
Just has too much damage and stuff. I want to see her do things with money.
Yeah, watch her do the little her little bedlam thing, and just. Get the sad trumpet out when you see it, because it's really really underwhelming.
It's not as impressive as the numbers look.
No, yeah.
It does not do
weird.
Many attacks,
because it has an attack interval is what it has. This is going to be a weird thing that they kind of added. So it does the 225 magic damage, but it has an attack interval of a quarter second. So it does feel weird. I used it once,
and it only does it to one target at a time.
Yeah,
like that's why you can't nuke down creep waves. Really, it's only going to hit one creep.
It is really weird. I don't know.
I just wish her Terrorize did just any semblance of damage. That's the only thing that bothers me a little bit. Is just, you guys know how many times this is going to happen, right? Is someone lands the perfect Terrorize, there's no follow-up, and then they all get away. And your team flames you because you just gave them an escape.
Yep.
Yeah, that's totally going to happen.
She's going to be
the other thing that'll happen.
I guarantee it.
Oh, for sure.
No, totally. The other thing that's going to happen, though, is really good players are going to get behind them and terrorize them back into a bramble maze, and it's going to be fucked.
Yeah, that has some synergy. I think the thing with her synergy is not as obvious, like, between all her spells as the Pangolier dude. But if you, like, combine this up with, a Jakiro or an Earthshaker or even an Underlord to, like, put them into a pit or put them into a big... spell, then it has an impact, but I don't know.
So next thing I want to talk about is ranked seasons. Seasonal MMR is all MMR now.
Yeah.
Also, your MMR is always going to be basically public. I don't think the specific number is, but what, you know, whether you're bronze or silver or gold or whatever will be.
And what you were last season.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be Ruby, whatever Ruby is. If Ruby's 1.5k, then you know what?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's just
Ruby,
tank.
Ruby. Yeah.
I see why other people are happy about this. I can understand why people who are not me are pleased. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it,
people who are not me.
My thoughts are, I've done seasonal MMR a couple of times before, right? Every time I get my seasonal MMR, it is 500 to 800 lower than my current MMR, because the MMR calibration system doesn't know how to interpret the way I play. By the numbers, I'm a shitty player. And I think I have more of an impact than it realizes. Mm-hmm. I think that my actual MMR holds that up. But I think every 6 months, I'm going to lose 500 MMR, and I'm not super excited about that.
I am worried about that. I realized the other day when I was looking at our past team performance on the We Like Dota League before the current one, back then I was 2,400 MMR, and now I'm 3.7, which is like, man, I'm almost a 4K. That feels really weird. And it's like, oh, no. Also, it starts in 2 weeks, which is basically yesterday in Valve time. That's really fast.
That is really fast.
It's like, hey, that's a nice MMR you have there. We're going to turn it into a badge. We're going to show everybody, and it's going to change. They also have, of course, no specifics on how it'll calibrate. I mean, we've talked about before how there's issues with the fact that we don't have MMR decay. So, like, people can just get to a certain thing and sit, and then it kind of messes with the, as Purge called it, the, like, MMR buckets, basically. It just kind of makes the system weird to interpret. But, like, redoing it every 6 months, I don't know.
I really like this. I get why you don't like this, but I really like this. This is the one thing that I really wish had happened for many years, especially when I used to play, like, solo ranked. Because you no longer have the excuse of, like, well, I, you know, started Dota 2 and I immediately went into ranked and I was 2.2, but I'm really a 3.2. You know, there's no more of that. It's seasonal. You have to prove it now. You have to prove it consistently, too. You can't do what I did, which is, like, hit 4K a year ago and then be like, yeah, no, I'm still a 4K player. Prove it. Prove that I'm not. I haven't played a solo ranked match since, but... You know, since Ember was ridiculously broken, so you know you can't just ride the wave. Although to be fair, I do agree about the 2 weeks thing. The fact that it's a 2 week window is basically this season is going to be the how quickly did I learn the meta, the MMR, you know, like that's.
Oh no, it's not going to last 2 weeks. It's just going to start in 2 weeks.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, the people who are going to calibrate 2 weeks from now.
Oh, that's a yeah.
They're
going to
be
point.
The people that get the super high MMR because they've either figured out the OP hero and it hasn't been patched yet, or they, you know, are going to wait for another OP thing to show up and then they're going to calibrate like crazy. So there still is ways to game it, but I just like that it's temporary and you can't just sit on your laurels, rest on your laurels, whatever it's called. And I don't know. I get that, you know, you play position
like
8 support in pubs, but you know.
Listen,
get over it.
I'm a hero. Everybody loves me.
What does it, Colin, truly need? Yeah, we'll see how they actually calibrate. I mean, it's just weird because right now the calibration cap is 3.5K. Like, I am above the calibration cap. So that's even weird.
Yeah, I wonder if that'll change.
Mm-hmm.
The guide system is better now. But moving on. I mean, like, thank you, but also there's not that much to say. Like, that's a good change. I like it.
Technology.
Turbo mode.
We League now.
Yes.
No,
all the Dota
Nick,
dads.
You can't say that with this one. You can't say we League now
well,
when
it
this
was
is
because
easy
League,
mode from
League
Dota
was
1
us
like
now.
Fucking 15 years ago.
League was us then. Now we League now. Something. I'm glad. That's great. It's basically
it's great.
Speed up everything. Give people more gold, more XP. Make towers weaker. Reduce respawn time. And, oh, you don't need a courier. You just buy anywhere. And Amazon fucking drones you. You're dataless or something. Great.
Yeah, it's going to be nice for playing with people, for getting people into Dota.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're
or
like,
just playing with people
for...
who don't want to get into Dota properly and just want to have a little fuck around.
Don't have time for an hour and a half
match. I personally
know
at least like 4 or 5 people who I used to play with regularly who have, like, for various reasons, stopped playing Dota for this very reason. Or they've played, and they've only been playing, like, Overthrow, because they can't commit to a 45-minute match. They can do 20 minutes at a time. So I feel like this is awesome, that this is a mode, and it's a mode supported with servers, with matchmaking.
Yep.
It's just as legit as, like, normal, you know, matchmaking. So it's great.
And abandons get punished.
Yes.
Because I love some of the custom modes. But, like, fucking people bail out of those within 5 seconds just because why not? And it's obnoxious.
Yeah. And it's, like, so I'm a dad now, and I know that I've had to abandon matches on you guys multiple times. And I feel bad every single time it happens because whenever we have those matches, I'm like, I think I can play this out. I feel just good enough to say, you know what, guys? I can play the second match. And then I found out I'm dead wrong. I can't. And now I screwed over my team. It's the worst feeling
Blue,
ever. So now I can say, guys, I can do a turbo mode.
I need you to think about me as your child, and you're really abandoning me.
Wah.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
I know how to pull through, therefore I should be 3.5k.
I actually am pretty bad at pulling through.
He's sensitive about his pull throughs.
Ability draft got kind of fixed, hopefully.
That's what they say, and then give it a patch and it'll be broken again. Mm-hmm. But hey. They did their year every other 3 year update or something.
Woo. Yep. AA got a remodel?
That was kinda out of left field.
Does he look that different?
Also no. No, it was like a faceless void remodel. He looks a little better.
He looks a little spookier.
Mm-hmm. His chilling touch looks a little better too. Pingwheel, we've got a League of Legends pingwheel.
We league now. I really like that. I think it's great because you have to waste a chat wheel slot to say like go here, get back, etc. And now you just I got used to it in the League. I just like hit Alt and dragged left. It was really easy, really quick.
Yeah, was good. We've got a new voice pack for the Juggernaut Arcana, where he's all spooky.
It was basically just old voice lines that we already knew about, but they finally put in the game, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It was weird.
There might be more. I don't know. We'll see.
I guess, yeah.
Probably not. There were a ton of them.
Eh.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Captain's mode, they changed the drafting order to be a little more even and fair.
Nope, people were pissed about. Not captain's mode. That's just all ranked now.
Yep.
All ranked is A, B, B, A, A, B, B, A, A, B.
Oh.
Yep.
My bad.
Yeah, people were complaining like, hey, there's a 50% chance that you're always going to be ahead of the enemy and they can always like counterpick you. And so they shook it up.
That's true.
We did get a bonus ban, though, in Captain's Mode. So now your first phase has 3 bans. Ooh.
There's also a change to randoming.
Yeah.
That was a sigh. This is great.
It's. So there's every week now. Oh, yeah. We have weekly Heroes V-League now. There are 10 heroes.
Oh,
selected.
They're daily, actually.
Daily. Wow. Okay. 10 heroes are selected, and they're called the bonus heroes. And I think I got this. If you pick them, you get a free mango.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you random, you automatically random a bonus hero.
So yeah, like you get one of those 10 only.
And you get a random Ironwood branch.
It's not random.
You get
I guess it is random because you got it for randoming.
You no longer get bonus gold. You can no longer repick, but you get a branch. Oh. Mm-hmm.
I like to think that this is Ice Frog looking at people who random in solo queue ranked and telling them to go fuck themselves, so I'm super on board.
Yeah, I need that like in the tooltip of that specific branch. Just like a tooltip is just like, what are you doing?
Well, I was going to go with eat a dick,
are
but
haters.
Sure.
Man, sometimes you just you want to let fate decide.
If you want to random in a 5-stack,
have at
that's
it.
Great.
Have at it.
Have a good time. If you solo queue into my game, Nicodemus, if you solo into my game and you random, I'm going to kick you in the fucking balls.
I'm not trying to be, biased with what heroes I'm best at. I'm just trying to prove my skill and improve my skill on all heroes, just in general Dota.
Nick, the other day you were trying to get me to pick Meepo in one of
our
competitive games.
I still
and
am.
And Meepo is your 105th most played hero.
You picked me Ursa the other day, and he was the exact same.
Yes, because
Ursa
is so fucking hard.
The most basic of carries. Like, you don't even have
he's
to
so
understand
bad.
Dota.
He's so bad.
What are you talking? Doesn't he have, like, a 55% win rate?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty confident. It's, like, a real high win rate. Yeah.
Here we go. Ursa Warrior.
It's real high, like 53 maybe. He's always
53.3%
win rate. Boom,
boom,
boom. Now let's look at Meepo. Let's take a gander at Meepo.
Oh, you can't compare pub.
This podcast is gonna be so long.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, Meepo 45.2. He's not the lowest. That's probably
I rest my case.
Oh, okay. You're right. 45.2. That's really good. Anyway,
that's not the worst.
They made changes to the map. We're not going to get into them very much because this is a podcast, and if we tell you about how things moved on a map, it will fucking be bad audio. They got rid of the bonus creep they added to mid lane, so mid lane's less fucking obnoxious.
You can't just have a dual lane forever and not fuck yourself over.
In the mid, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. Denying is screws over the person. When you deny creeps, it screws over whoever is being denied more than it did before.
Yeah, pretty sure. The wording is so fucked.
Yeah. I've seen it tested. That's
okay. Yeah. Well, also they rescaled the creeps. So like a while ago, they made it so that the ranged creep was worth like two or three melee in terms of XP. So that's gone. Now it gives, instead of 90 XP, it gives 69 nice XP. And like the melee gives 60 or 50 or something. It's way better.
Yeah. Also, neutral denying isn't actually deny anymore. Yeah. So get good. Let's see.
Safe lane is safer and off lane is harder. That's like all I have to say about the map changes. Is it becomes much more like traditional tri lanes are viable again. Aggro tri lanes can be really good if you can pull and deny your creeps. It changes it where you can't just tri lane the mid like you used to, because it's just not
as
valuable.
And also, I like the bounty in shrine swap they did. Now your bounties are like, they're not just a safe little, oh, I'm going to run 45 seconds, go get my bounty in the middle of nowhere in my jungle where nothing's happening.
Guys, I'm roaming for the first 4 minutes, aka collecting bounty runes.
Bounty, yes.
So all players at the start of a game now get a free piece of toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, I saw this too. Like, bidets, guys, come on.
Yeah. Come on, TP Frog. Scrolls. We all get free TP scrolls, but they start on cooldown.
Thanks, Bernie.
You can't like TP to a lane and go like smoke ward or smoke, like try to gank or something, or techies, huge nerf to techies. You can't go set up your minefield.
Huge nerf to the wrong way to play techies. Yes.
Oh, I have a question though. Could you just buy a separate TP scroll?
It'll still be on cooldown.
It'll still be on cooldown. So you can't put that one down?
TP scrolls start on cooldown at the beginning of the game.
Just all of them. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's crazy. Can you sell it for 25 gold?
I wonder. Hope not, I but maybe.
I got to get that half an iron branch, man. I got to get it.
Shrines are no longer in the base. Fuck your high ground. And glyphs now make your creeps invulnerable, too.
Yeah. Trade-off, I guess, using
I did not read
aggressive
that.
Glyph.
Yeah, I think, like, it seems like mostly that won't be used, but occasionally, like, if you're really having trouble cracking high ground, you could glyph your creeps to try and get some tower damage.
Slightly buff.
If you're like, I'm sure we're not going to need this glyph, we might as well pop it aggressively.
Keep the back door open.
Yeah.
some lane creep changes. I don't want to go into those. Armor stuff, don't want to go into that. Do. Let's skip to actually good stuff, right?
Let's talk about Roshan.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a good idea to me. Roshan's got more junk in the trunk now. On the third kill,
he has a bigger ass.
He has a bigger ass, yep. James in the game. He drops a one-time use consumable refresher with a separate cooldown from refresher orb.
Mm-hmm.
Which is... what?
Free refresh?
It's consumable too, right? It's like you don't use mana, right?
Yeah.
I haven't checked. Okay,
I think so.
It should just be like a big soda can.
It's like, just crack open a cold one.
Crap.
No, it should be wine because he's got cheese.
Oh.
Oh, shit. But what wine would. We haven't even figured out truly what cheese he drops.
It's a good
yet,
pairing,
Colin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we're closing in. He needs to give us something new.
I feel like he's a hefty Merlot kind of guy, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't...
I was thinking of, like... he seems like an... I feel like it's just like a Zinfandel.
Yeah. What?
I don't know.
With that kind of smelly cheese? I don't think so.
I don't know wine for shit. I just said a wine that I knew.
I don't know.
I think he wants it heavy on the tannins, you know?
No, yeah. He got to, you know, cut through the fat.
Isn't
the
that scotch? Now we're talking about scotch?
I mean, they both have.
I could always talk about scotch.
Polyphenol.
I'm just saying tannins. I don't think wine has tannins, does it?
I'm pretty sure it does, right?
Red wine has tannins.
Yeah.
I literally know nothing. All right.
Yeah, Merlot has
tannins. The other thing about Roche is he doesn't insta-kill illusions. They just only do 80 damage to him.
Yeah. they really won't do any damage, but they're not. I don't know. It's good for distractions and stuff, and good for Echo.
You could have them tank for you or something, maybe
on the enemy team.
Yeah, PL's not quite as garbage now at taking Roche.
Also, illusions now benefit from health and mana regen.
Well, hold on. Let's go back to this fucking Roche refresh orb that we didn't really mention.
That's
what?
True.
What? This is so good. This totally changes like how valuable objectives are.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roche is way better. Yeah. Roche is like, it seems like a lot of changes in this patch seem like Ice Frog was like watching a bunch of these tournaments and seeing how high ground went for teams with a lead. Yes. Being like, this is bullshit.
What have I done?
This is taking forever.
I can't, like,
just
fucking
kill them.
On the game for what? Yeah.
You're winning. I mean, now go win.
Yeah, this makes Aegis an actually good item again on the carries who would, like, Terrorblade, DK, and DP are the biggest defenders whose ults, like, big, huge impact ults, don't persist on death. Like, they made that change to Terrorblade to nerf him when he was super OP a little while ago. Well, probably a longer while ago now. But all you have to do is kill Roche a third time, throw this fucking refresher orb in your backpack, and then, fine, you get Aegis, you die, you just refresh and metamorphosis again.
All of those strats, yeah. Big cooldowns of any kind, Enigma, Tidehunter. Really, like, if you're winning a big team fight and you get that, you can still go high ground. You don't have to wait another 2 minutes, you know?
Yeah,
this might be a little far-fetched. I know we talked about earlier, like, hey, give it to the Shadow Shaman, maybe, and then you have two sets of wards. If it has a separate cooldown from Refresher, they haven't specifically
you could have three sets
said,
of wards.
Yeah, that it doesn't refresh Refresher.
Oh, you could have four sets of wards?
Does it refresh Refresher? I don't know.
Refresher doesn't refresh Refresher. I don't know if this one does.
But you can't, yeah, I don't know. We'll have
this
to see.
Terrible.
I should have tested it, but that would be terrible. You'd have no mana, but it'd be terrible.
So, neutrals sleep now.
They need a rest, man. Give them a break.
I guess this is like a nice flavor touch. I don't know why they did this.
I don't know. It means they have zero aggro range during the night. Basically.
Blue, were you Heroes of New Earth Cancer?
Oh, no. No.
Okay. I was going to ask you, because apparently this was in that,
I was still
too,
playing StarCraft 2 and thinking I was, like, better than everyone else in the world because I played StarCraft 2.
I mean, it's objectively true.
True.
That is fact.
Let's see. What else is worth talking about?
Hex. You can't purge Hex.
Hex. Yeah. Fuck Slark.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good.
We talked about before how maybe it's bad that Slark is the fucking slippery of slippery heroes.
Like, the most uncounterable thing once he gets fed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we have undispellable dispel.
Lion and Scythe. Those things will now counter.
Scythe is much better now.
Perfect.
That is pretty great. Because Scythe has been really undervalued or underpicked.
Yeah.
I should say
why
undervalued.
I get a Scythe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. It's mostly fuck Slark.
Yeah. So, also, unique attack modifiers are
moment of silence.
Permanently dead. Gone.
The technology is here.
No more.
Ding
Not
dong,
much really changed.
Dead.
But...
Thank God.
Their spirit lives on in the fact that mana break can't stack with other mana breaks. But
one day I'll buy Diffusal Blade on Anti-Mage. But now I can buy Satanic and literally any other fucking item.
You could buy Scotty on Anti-Mage.
People
you
have already done that.
Scotty's no longer UN.
Oh, right. Well, okay.
But you can buy Scotty now on OD.
You could always buy Scotty. Scotty wasn't a UAM. There was like,
are you sure about
orb.
That?
Yep, positive.
It was at one point, but we've lost so many. We've lost so many.
Recently,
we've been able to bite on him for a while.
Yeah,
yeah,
but yeah, no, nothing's left. Arcane Orb gone. All the weird interactions with Mana Break gone, and there's another one, probably Poison, Poison Touch, Viper, Poison Sting. We'll get to Poison Touch later. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think it'd be that big. I like that it opens things up. It's like when Scotty stopped being a unique attack modifier. I'm like, oh, now I can build it on Anti-Mage. And I'm like, I don't really need
it. But it's not good
stats.
On him, though. Yeah.
It can be good.
Yeah.
It can be, yeah.
I've seen it built pretty effectively sometimes. But it's like the
some people
really
might
nice.
Call it the best item in the game.
God, here we go.
Cliffing is back.
I like this.
He's Cliff people. Yeah.
They removed all those stupid restrictions they put.
Yeah, I like it too. Let's move on to some item changes.
Can we talk about how our podcast is dead?
We could, yeah.
Yeah,
for another time. You can no longer bottle crow because the courier can no longer refill bottles.
You had a good one.
I am proud to announce that I will be starting up a better podcast with a better co-host called Shield Crow.
Perfect.
Because there's a new ability called Courier Shield that shields you instead of having the haste.
Yeah. I mean, the move speed was buffed by like 30 flat 2 on both forms, mm-hmm. but no more haste.
Yep. Yep. Also, Courier is more expensive, but automatically upgrades itself at 3 minutes. No more buying a
flying
And
you can
courier.
Only buy one, mm-hmm. which is... It should be bigger than it was. Like, I never really bought bonus couriers.
All the controls and UI around multiple carriers yeah. was
awkward.
Couriers was such a disaster.
Yeah, it's really yeah. weird. I'm yeah. fine with
the fact
this.
That you could still have things delivered was big.
This was like an unnecessarily yeah. complex, very... This is like a very old-school Dota thing to have.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't feed the couriers anymore. Can't buy multiple nope. couriers and feed them. Actually, they removed the gold anyways, I think, a while ago. Oh, well.
The side shop is now empty. There is
He's
nothing
sold
in
out.
It.
It's now, it's the gas station. That's what it is.
yeah. It pretty much is. You could buy like the newspaper or yeah. some
you
snacks.
You get the cheap
like
crap that you probably shouldn't get. You'll feel bad about getting it later.
Why didn't I just wait?
Why do I have two Ring of Protections? What's wrong with me?
Because Vlad's and Aquila and all now stack with each other for some reason.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Observe rewards are now more expensive. It probably needed to happen. I'm a support. It probably needed to happen. Tangos got scaled up on more use, but they cost more money.
I'm kind of cool with that one, honestly. Like, now as a support, you can share more, but still keep some of your own. I don't know.
And also, honestly, when did you actually get to zero gold? You normally always had, like, bonus room left over to buy an Ironwind branch or something.
Yeah,
that's true.
On a lot of heroes, so I don't think
Well, and the other thing is, this is a weird thing, because I feel like so much of the time when I'm playing a position 5 support, if I'm playing with a safe laner that I can trust, I actually end up giving away like all my tangos because I don't need them, and I actually have too many. So like, I guess this is fine. I'm not gonna need 5. I don't know what I'll do with them.
Give them to the creeps.
Right. Maybe you bought 2 sets in the past, and now you just have to buy one.
No, I don't know. I don't remember the last time I bought 2 sets.
I get 2 sets and I give them out like candy. I'm like, there, I've supported you. Now shut up for the rest of the game.
Yeah. Eat a tree.
Almost all the like the tier 1 stuff, like the gauntlet, the slippers, the mantle, is all cheaper. And there's a lot of price adjustments around that stuff. But also, plus damage was removed from so many things.
Yeah, now you get like bonus 1 stat or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's weird. Aether Lens is now a better item for supports. Pow.
Bam.
Battle Fury is a little bit more complicated to... Nick, take it away.
400 cheaper because you have to buy a Demon Edge instead of a Claymore and Broadsword, but it kind of sucks because you have to buy a Demon Edge instead of a Claymore and Broadsword because one of those swords helped you farm the other. They were like helping each other out. They were buds. Now you have to hold on to like 2400 or whatever the new recipe cost is of a Demon Edge.
I disagree. Eh. Still cheaper. Still cleaves
really?
More. Yeah. 400 is
I mean,
a pretty
yeah.
significant
oh, that's
amount.
True. Yeah, it is.
And you don't that's get true. It for the it, damage, and it cleaves more. I don't know.
Like, you get it. That's 50
but it,
damage.
It also makes it...
55
like,
to 50
when you're
is
up
a
against...
big difference, though.
No, but like you buy Battle Fury for damage, for
right,
sure.
But I'm saying like you don't buy Battle Fury and go, yes, for the 55 damage. Oh, no, it's down to 50. What will I do?
No, I more mean like I would buy a broadsword at the side shop to help me finish a claymore.
Mm-hmm.
In like the jungle, and it would help my farm a little.
Right.
And one of the considerations I think is when you're up against like an anti-mage and you're like, we got to stop him from getting that battle fury. All the pieces were not that big before. It was hard to catch him during like a radiance like lull. And now with the demon edge, it's kind of possible to catch him in a sweet spot where mm-hmm. you know he's saving up for that demon edge and gank him and screw him over.
Yeah. I love the cleave buff.
I feel like
though.
That's how
you
battle
get, like,
fury
a bonus
should be
50
done.
Range.
I agree. Yeah. I think this is good. I can see why an anti-mage player might be a little sad.
No, it's just like for anti-mage, it's worse.
But once you get it, but it's probably better.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a buff of like 50 to the cleave distance and then 30 to the radius.
Yeah.
That's massive. That's so big.
Ember, so Ember Battle Fury.
Changes to...
Yeah.
It's back.
Yeah. A bunch of changes to smaller items. Diffusal Blade. It doesn't dispel things anymore.
It doesn't diffuse. It just slows. But it doesn't have charges. So I don't know.
It's true.
I don't know what to think.
I like it. It feels more like a mid-game item now, and not like an item you could carry for the rest of the game and still be able to use it 68 minutes in and for it to be just as effective. You know,
that's true.
And also, there was this issue of like, well, I'm playing like, I don't know what a good example is. I'm playing Chaos Knight, but they've got a Necrophos, so I better get a Diffusal. Like, that kind of shit was obnoxious.
Yeah, and it's agility no longer upgradable, item. So there's no, like, late-ish game version of it anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bloodstone. I think this one's pretty big. They changed Soul Ring, too, so it gives no passive regen. But Bloodstone actually builds out of a Perseverance now, so it's back to the way it used to be.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it gives, like, you have two more initial charges, so we're back to 14. That kind of sucks for people who want to try to build it, but hey, that's fine. Whatever.
The build-up sucks. It's better when you get it. Same concept as Battle Fury. It's the Intelligence Heroes Battle Fury.
It is, really.
Yeah, I guess that's true. A bunch of more little changes. Iron Talon and Poor Man's Shield are gone.
Yay.
Fine. Yeah, they were just like really good early game items. It's like,
Poor Man's Shield was
good and boring.
Was so
good and boring.
Egregious. It was like way too good for what it did. Like, every single hero in the offlane, I'd be like, well, what could I go? Could I go Mango? Could I go Mango Tango Salve on this? Is that better? And every time I go, just get Poor Man's Shield and Tangos, it's always the better option, no matter what hero you picked. It's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's crazy. And junglers, and it was obnoxious.
Colin, I know you're really excited about the Javelin change, that one item that built into like MKB and I think technically something else. So the cost is reduced a little. It no longer gives damage. The accuracy, it gives 25% accuracy.
Yeah.
Accuracy is everywhere.
And if you
now
get an accuracy proc, it does 100 magic damage.
Remember how I was like, accuracy is stupid and I hate it, and just buy True Strike? Well, guess what? True Strike's gone. Just buy accuracy.
Here.
It's almost gone.
I'll explain it to you very simply. You see, the equation is the quantity 1 minus accuracy chance and quantity times the evasion chance times the miss chance is your chance to miss. So.
Okay.
There you go.
And that also, that effect cascades down into Basher and Abyssal.
Yeah.
Monkey King Bar doesn't have True Strike anymore.
It has 75% accuracy.
And it also has attack speed and a pure damage proc?
Yes, if you proc the accuracy, you get a 60 pure damage. But yeah, 60 attack speed. No more damage.
There's not that many damage items anymore. Like, there's damage. No. There's basically... It's nice because this kind of makes Daedalus, like, the damage item. You can't just be like, I'll just get a Monkey King bar and pretty much get the same
built,
damage.
Like, Daedalus often in so long.
I know.
It's just like, why? Why would I?
Just get a Bloodthorn.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So it's nice that this is... this kind of changes the purpose of the item. And not just, I need True Strike. Okay, get the one item that's really built for True Strike.
The wand is now made up differently. It's a little cheaper. It provides slightly different stats. But also, one of the main things is it includes the enchanted mango. So if you pick a bonus hero with a free mango, you're well on your way to that magic wand.
I mean, you've got to finish it, because it gives plus to all stats from the Ironwood branches and a passive 1.5 HP regen. Because, and so it like buffs up the mango regen by half.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. Like, all you have to do is spend 250 gold if you randomed. And then you have a wand.
It's
so
nice.
I think a lot more people are going to get that early.
Yep. Necronomicon is more of an early game item. It's cheaper. No, it's more expensive.
It's cheaper.
Okay, yeah, sorry, my brain just farted
it's
on
a lot
for a second
cheaper.
There.
Yeah, it used to. It's the combination of Staff of Wizardry and Belt of Strength was 1450. That's down to like 1200 or 1300. It's 1200, yeah. So it's like 100 cheaper, but the big thing to me is it provides mana regen now instead of just flat intelligence, and that's actually really good. Because the intelligence was pretty irrelevant in the past. And the level 3 archer now gains purge, slow and dispel for your archer, which is really good. Mm-hmm. Now that defusal doesn't do that, level 3 archer now is like using that unit properly is all the more important, which I love.
Yeah.
But you do lose the mana burn, which was also a pretty good source of damage
for the
archer.
It was like 200 mana burn.
Yeah, but the warrior already does mana burn, like a lot of mana burn. So it's,
really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yes. I'm absolutely certain. As a guy who has had to play a lot of
Necrobook, you would know.
It does a lot of mana burn.
Huh.
Like every strike.
Yeah.
So it's really good. It's a nice... It's a nice buff without it making it just like this item will just be better. It's a different kind of buff. Yeah. So I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. And the 20 strength is nothing to sneeze at level 3.
Yeah.
Orb of Venom doesn't disable Blink anymore. Thank Jesus. That item was getting out of control. Silver Edge no longer does enemy damage reduction. Again, that item was doing too much. Good. Let's scroll down to something more fun. Let's talk about some new items.
Oh, boy.
Let's talk about the Meteor Hammer.
God.
Fresh meat.
Okay, so you get a Ogre Axe, you get a Staff of Wizardry, you get a Ring of Regen, you get a Sage's Mask. That's 2,625 gold. For that, you get plus 12 strength, plus 12 int, plus 4 HP regen, plus 1.5 mana regen, and an active where you drop a meteor.
And it damages towers.
It has a channel of 3 seconds, but yeah, it's an AoE. It does damage over time to structures, more to not structures, and also stuns. It's also really bad.
I really disagree.
I don't know. It's just so weird.
I've fucked with it. It sucks. Like, the 3-second cat channel time is just too long given how short the range is. Because you just have to stand there really close to the tower and wait for someone to murder you. It's bad.
You can stand, like 880 units away. I think it's fine.
I think it's just a weird item that I feel like the item is... something that like a Redditor would make up to be like, I can't hit the buildings.
I do
agree. Let me hit the buildings. Give me an item that lets me hit buildings. And that's all this item is supposed to do. It's a damage over time on structures. It takes forever to land. It has weird stats. It gives 12 strength, 12 intelligence, 4 HP regen, and 1.5 mana regen. It's just like, I feel like if this patch were like a 10 page, you know, paper that Ice Frog wrote, this is where he's like phoning it in. This is page 3.5 where he's like, people will ignore this part. They'll be happy about the other stuff, you know.
You're
it's
not
a weird item.
I've actually turned as soon as it needs to be disassemblable, and then it's amazing because it like
that
lets you beef
be
up. You would buy an Ogre Axe, you'd buy a Staff of Wizardry. They're kind of expensive on like supports and stuff, and you'd have a Ring of Regen and Sage's Mask, I guess. But the fact that you have to just permanently go into this mid game 12 strength, 12 int item, that's fine. That's good, but... Eh.
Oh, and a fun fact. If you're playing Arc Warden and you drop two of these on the same person, it doesn't do anything. You only get one effect.
That's a shame.
Let's move on to the next new item, the Aeon Disc.
Ooh.
So, this is a Vitality Booster, an energy booster, and a recipe for 3,750 gold.
1750 recipe,
yeah,
by the way.
That's pricey.
Yeah.
Jesus.
It gives you 250 health, 250 mana, 25 status resistance, which of course reduces the duration of statuses.
Yeah. League calls this tenacity, or at least it did. So we have this mechanic in the game now.
Mm-hmm.
It just reduces all like disables, basically. It doesn't reduce the actual like length of DPS debuffs. It's a little weird because the fact that we have DPS linked with disables a lot. So it'll just reduce the actual disable itself.
And then the passive effect
Oh, right.
When you take damage below 80% and you are below 80% health, if it's from a player, you apply a strong dispel to yourself, and you get a 2.5 second buff that reduces all incoming and outgoing damage to zero. That's got a 100 second cooldown.
Yep. This is fucking weird.
This item is help. I've been ganked. Here, get out of jail free. That's what this item is to me. It's very much like if you're about to go and get blown up and you're getting like chain stunned. It's like buy this and you'll get 2.5 seconds to just get the hell out of there or it's have so your allies weird. I don't know.
Yeah,
I could see like this being great on like an instance Enigma of Kraken or something. Show. Yeah, it's exactly.
But it's so. Here are the weird things. One, it's only the one dispel. They can just immediately CC you again if they have it. The other thing is it's below 80%. So this is, exclusively for ganks. Like, if you're thinking, like, I'll buy this and I'll go into a fight, and then if it goes bad, I can get out. It's going to pop almost immediately. It's going to pop really early on in that fight.
Hey, nobody has to blow, like, a stun on you to get you below 80% health unless you're, like, Centaur. But then you can't do any damage, and then that kind of sucks too for 2.5 seconds after the purge. But a 1750 recipe says all you need to know about this item. I'm sure Purge will hone in on this. Like 1750 gold on a recipe? I mean, it gives status resistance, which is
a
new mechanic.
That's pretty good. 25% is a lot.
Yeah, that's actually true. Never mind.
I feel like both Meteor Hammer and Aeon Disc are items that are intentionally underpowered because he's testing the waters.
I don't know. 25% status resistance?
That's pretty good.
The passive, take it or leave it, I think it could screw you over. But status resistance, tenacity.
You know what else gives you status resistance? A Black King bar. It gives you a lot of it.
Not all of it.
No, not necessarily.
Global Silence, only while active. Don't give a hoot about that.
I guess Abyssal Blade. I wonder if some stuff will pierce status resistance.
Oh, no.
Oh, God, that's what we need.
Deeper
like,
down
I bet Black Hole
go.
Will. Right.
Another fuck. Oh my god, Colin. We were talking about how I was telling you how last night I played a game with teammate Banana Stand, and he was mentioning a lot of the things he wanted from the new patch, and he got almost all of them. Like another layer of BKB is. I think that's the opposite of what he wanted. I don't remember, but it just reminded me of that. Again.
I mean, he wanted an item that let all of your spells pierce BKB for 5 seconds. Yeah. He's a fucking crazy person. hi, Rob. So the next one, Nick's new item, because we've got like three more new items, including this one, is the Spirit Vessel. This is an improved Urn of Shadows. Urn of Shadows, Vitality Booster, Wind Lace, Recipe, total 2,825. Doable. Provides 250 health, 30 movement speed, 2 to all stats, 2 armor, and 1 mana regen. And its active is an urn, but also it reduces enemy healing and drains their health at 3% per second. And then casting it on an ally amplifies their health regen and increases their health by 1 per second.
It's like, hey, you're a support, you're a roamer, and you've made it to the late game. Have another item.
Yep, that's really all this is.
Of grab bag stats.
Yeah.
Hey, you're an oracle, and you're playing Dota. Buy this item.
Seriously.
That's so
hey, you
good.
Had an Urn of Shadows. Have a Vessel of Spirit.
It's I like this item a lot.
It's a good item.
It's a very good item. Like it's not like I don't think it's super fun. It's just very good.
That's gonna, I mean that 70% heal reduction on enemies for the pretty long duration of Urn. That's pretty
good. Be pretty good against like an alchemist or a necro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that could be good.
Yeah, I mean that's the second ever source of heal reduction in the game.
Yeah,
so
we'll, it's pretty necessary, honestly.
Oh yeah.
So I like that.
So the next item is the Nullifier. It's a sacred relic and a Helm of Iron Will that's 4,700 gold.
Yeah.
It provides a 65 damage, 5 armor, 5 health regen. And its active is a projectile that dispels the target and mutes them for 5 seconds. Also, any time during that 5 seconds that they're attacked, they will be basically stopped 100% speed slow for 0.4 seconds.
And it has a 14 second cooldown. I mean, 100 mana cost and only a cast range is 600, but a 14 second cooldown, a 5 second mute? Like.
Yeah, mute's pretty good.
Yeah. It seems really strong before this, I think. Yeah.
And its stats are such that you can pick it up on basically any carry.
It feels weird to do that. I mean, yes, you're going to get a relic and then you're going to go a Helm of Iron Will for just like a tiny bit of damage increase above relic and then 5 armor and HP regen?
It's not. I don't think it's a core item. I think it is a response to a problem.
Yeah. It just feels... It's like you know they're going to go BKB. So, like, oh, I guess I'll go a Nullifier. It gives me damage.
Or it's a Dispel, and so you know you're fighting Necrophos. Yeah. Or you know you're fighting, you know, like a bunch of...
It just means you have to really, really plan for it, though. And, like, sacrifice a lot to farm a relic. Because that's hard. That's
true. It's a situational item. And I'm always okay with having those kind of things in the game if they make sense. And I like that there's a push and pull to it. Like, once you get the item, it sounds actually really good. The active is really cool, but it takes a sacred relic to build to. You know, it's like that's not something that's pretty to build up to. So you have to know going into it, like, we're gonna need this item. You can't just be like, let's just grab this item real quick, you know.
I feel like it's too good. I think you have to nerf the cooldown, and then I agree totally. But having like a 14-second cooldown, 5-second mute, it's like it feels like you would have to go this on a lot of people instead of like, oh, situation like this is going to be this amazing game-changing item that I've managed to farm, and that's like a good accomplishment.
That's a possibility. Actually, oh shit! I just realized this is the fucking this is actually the BKB nullifier that Rob wanted, huh?
Oh my fuck!
The can't God use damn BKB it. Item. Yep.
You're oh boy. Yep, I didn't realize.
Okay. And finally, for new items, we have the Kaya, which is basically an anti-Yasha. It's a little bit cheaper. The recipe is 500 instead of 600 compared to Yasha and Sanj. It provides 16 int, 10% spell amp, which Aetherlands no longer does, so there's some spell amp. And then plus 10% mana cost reduction and mana loss reduction. That is to say, when mana burn or mana break or whatever hits you, it will do 10% less than it would.
Yeah, because we now have a mana cost reduction mechanic in the game.
So the mana burn thing is not, like, that's another one of those testing the water things. Like, 10% less mana burn doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But
10% mana cost, though?
That's significant.
That can add up on spammers of spells. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't build into anything which is big. Like, there's the Azura and Dota Imba, which is basically the int, like Yasha or Sanj. But it built into the Triumvirate, which is like an SNY and Azura.
This is Invoker.
So it still feels weird.
It's an Invoker item.
Yeah.
Hands down. And Queen of Pain. Fiercely mid game. Very much mid game.
Maybe Storm Spirit? Maybe?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. 10% mana cost and Storm?
But that thing, like, people make this mistake with the Arcane Rune. The 10% mana cost doesn't interact with the Zip Zap the way you think.
Just the initial usage.
Just the initial.
Oh, interesting.
So I assume that will be the same case here.
Okay. Then
One thing that it does though, if you have any heroes like Storm or like Lashrak, I could see this being really good on Lashrak, is if you have spammable abilities, this is also a good farming tool.
Yeah.
Like, think of that how people buy, like, Yasha first, on, like, Anti-Mage after Battle Fury because it speeds up their farm. Same idea could be applied for this. To be like, I could clear stacks quicker. I can... You know, it could also be thought of
It's an alternative to Orchid for me. Because, like, Orchid is kind of... It's okay to build up, but it kind of fucking sucks, actually, if you're behind. To, like, say, oh, I gotta build Orchid on Quap. I gotta do it. But I'm behind, and I don't really have an item to farm, so, like, these Sadder Tormentors
end up, like,
fucking me up.
On, like, Quap or, like, Storm, a lot of the times you end up building an Orchid against teams where you don't actually need the active.
Yeah. Or, well, and
I mean,
also,
like, the active's always nice, but, like...
It gets worse as the game goes on, too. That's why I hate being behind when I'm trying to build Orchid, because the silence gets worse and worse, because people have BKBs or supports with better spells to stop your silence. Four staff.
That's
so
a good point.
That, you know.
And one hero that I didn't mention that would also really like this, I hate to admit, Necrophos. This would be a good Necro. Imagine this and a Veil in the mid game. Good lord. Good luck trying to get out of a Reaper Scythe.
That'd be pretty good. Well, folks, we are going to stop this episode short here. We will have a second patch note special episode. I don't know the timing on it yet. I'm still going to figure that out. But we'll be back with more. And I'm not going to do a proper outro here. There'll be another episode. Fucking listen to the other episode. Peace out.